welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks for being here tonight on the big program. Going to talk about, well, more on Transparent Tom's lottery privatization scheme. Also going to talk about robot workers, desperation wages, and the gated communities of the future. A vision for America? Well, that's the wealth class's vision, but is it the right vision? Also going to talk about today being the 84th birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., had he been with us. We're going to talk about the dream and, well, how it's being co-opted and rewritten by the wealth class so that they use that dream, well, against the very people that it was meant for. Also going to talk about the GOP, well, let the rigging begin. The 2016 presidential election is being rigged beginning today. You got to give them credit. At least they're thinking ahead, a little bit of thought into the future. If only they would take that vision, that thought, that looking to the future and think about our infrastructure. Think about education. Think about healthcare. You know, maybe productive things. But understand, the only way they hold on to power, the only way they retain it is through rigging. And you look at the gerrymandering that's gone on in this state, and it is, in my view, it's criminal. Also going to take your calls, 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. So the House of Representatives today approved a $50.7 billion aid package for the victims of Hurricane Sandy. Came in two separate portions, $17 billion in emergency spending, another $33.7 billion in an amendment from Republican Representative Rodney Frelinghuyser of New Jersey. Pretty simple. It came down to 241-180. Your votes against Republicans. $17 billion in the emergency spending, 33.7 in the amendment. $16 billion going to community block grants. Things that fell down during the storm, got to rebuild it. It's about rebuilding. 10.9% for public transportation projects. A lot of damage done. A lot of upgrades need to be done, so that's part of it. $5.4 billion for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. You know, because we're going to levees. You know, New York's kind of underwater. Probably should think about fixing those, making them, well, withstand this kind of a storm in the future. And also $11.5 billion for FEMA for their disaster relief fund. Now, you add this together and you go, wow, that's an awful lot of money, $50.7 billion. You add that together with the $9.7 billion that the House and the Senate approved on January 4th. So you add those two numbers together, you get 60.4. If memory serves me right, and it does, the governors of New York and New Jersey, the package they asked for was $60 billion. In fact, the amount approved in the 112th Congress, you know, last year, exactly $60.4 billion. So, you know, you stop and you think about this. It has been 76 days since the storm hit until this is gonna be done. 76 days. And you go, well, why did it take this long? Why? Well, think about the party of obstruction, the Grand Obstruction Party. And, you know, I guess you could argue that the reason that it passed is we threw out a bunch of Republicans. Some of them got beat and, well, hey, you know what, closed the gap a little bit. Others, you know, I think there are 81 freshmen coming in into this 113th Congress. Does that have something to do with it? Or does it have, you know, people are starting to really get ticked. And here's the really disgusting part for me. You had this Republican from South Carolina, Mick Mulvaney, who said, well, you know, well, we want an amendment that says, you know, we'll give you all the money you want. We'll give you the 60 point, but you're going to have to offset that with cuts, basically all the federal discretionary cuts. Cut all the federal programs by 1.6% because we're going to have to pay for it. So in essence, what he wants to do is create a disaster out of the disaster. Because, I mean, there's only so much of the bone you can really cut away. But this is their, in order for us to help you, we've got to make pain somewhere else. And of course, Club for Growth, Pat Toomey's former group opposed any aid whatsoever. So what do you expect? And, you know, there's part of me that goes, well, why did we go through this whole song and dance if we're not going to pay our bills? Because the debt ceiling fight, you know, that's a hostage situation just around the corner. If we're not going to pay the bills we've already incurred, why make new ones? Why not just say, you know what, folks in New York and New Jersey, sorry, we can't allocate any money because we can't pay the bills we've already got because we're that badly broken. And I loved Gingrich's, Newt Gingrich's take on it. He was angry that Obama, he claims Obama was bullying the Republicans because he refused to cave. He refused to give in. He refused to do what they wanted. So he's bullying them, even though they're the majority in the House. He's somehow bullying them. You know, he's actually trying to lead and actually stand on his principle, which is why he has to go. I mean, I've seen a bunch of calls already. We need to impeach him, you know, because of the guns thing. And I look at this and I go, you know, the whole he needs to go is working its way through state legislatures across the country. And if you'll remember, I told you this was coming. It didn't take a genius to figure it out, just someone with eyes open, that they are going to rig the 2016 elections. And they're going to. And today was the day they put forth the piece of legislation. Actually, it was yesterday. They put forth the piece of legislation that is going to help them steal the 2016 election. House Bill 94, introduced by Godshaw, Grove, Kaufman, Harris, Barber, and Emmerich and Moll, all Republicans. And basically what it is, and it's a very short read, basically what it's going to do is it's all about changing how the state of Pennsylvania, how the Commonwealth allocates the electors. And you go, well, yeah, it sounds, you know, it's technical. No, it's not. They have gerrymandered this state that, well, 13 of the 18 congressional districts are Republican seats. So obviously what they want to do is they want to be able to take the electoral votes and reallocate them, shift them around, redistribute them, if you will, to use a Tea Party frame. So what they've said is they're going to have two statewide at-large electors that will be voted on by the populace, and the rest will be congressional districts. So of our 20 votes, two will be voted on by the state, one from each congressional district, which they have already jerry-rigged to begin with. Now, as we had talked about around the election, had the Republicans been able to do this before the election, Mitt Romney wins. Because they have done this kind of gerrymandering around the country. Because look, the wealth class has figured this game out. They have figured out every scenario. They've spent the money in the right places. Look, they've done the research. And they've invested the money because look, they understand return on investment. Once you control the levers of power at all levels of government, then you can do, well, whatever you want. For instance, there's a fracking treatment center here in Pennsylvania hasn't had a permit for a year. Yeah, but we're operating. Yeah, don't worry about it. Our governor's in the bag. He's in the bag. The lottery scheme that Corbett's put out, we're gonna profitize the lottery for a foreign for-profit corporation. Don't worry. He's our guy. In the bag. So when this stuff happens, you gotta look to yourself and go, who'd we vote for? It's these folks who told us, look, we believe in openness and transparency. We believe in all of this stuff. And yet, everything that they've done has been the antithesis of that. And this was introduced very quietly, and it's been assigned to the state. It's been referred to the state government committee, and they'll do their little as they can to not draw any attention to it. You know, much like this lottery privatization thing. There wasn't much talk of it. Flew under the radar. And then, boom, it's done. And then when you ask about it, well, we'll let you hold your hearing afterwards. I mean, how much more is it going to take before we wake up and realize that the people running the hen house, well, these foxes are taking the hens? Which is why I was happy to see today that they swore in Kathleen Kane and Eugene DePasquale and Rob McCord. Maybe, you know, this lottery thing, maybe there's a possibility it doesn't pass legal muster. Maybe Kathleen Kane says this just isn't legal. Maybe that happens. I don't know. But there's got to be some measure of check and balance. There's got to be some way to make sure that the radicals don't continue this steamroller that they've been running down our throats. Understand what's coming. When the budget, when he does his State of the State speech, which is coming up, privatizing the state wine and spirit shops, that's going to be first and foremost, and he's going to sell it as, well, you know, we've got this pension problem that we've been setting up. This is how we're going to fill that pension problem, and it won't cost us. We won't have to raise taxes on corporations or anybody, and this is a quick fix. Granted, it's a ripoff, but it's a quick fix. And who doesn't love a quick fix? Especially a governor with a lot of bad ideas. And I'm telling you, we're going to see a lot of right-wing nonsense come out of this governor in this State of the State speech. Understand that. All of the ideology is going to come out now. Because by fall, they're going to be in election mode. And nothing crazy is going to happen. I don't think anything's going to crazy is going to happen. I think it's all going to be right now. So all of the attacks on workers, all of the attacks on teachers and public sector workers, and all the attacks on things that we own, all the privatization schemes, I think we're going to start seeing accelerated. And it's going to take us to be vigilant, to keep an eye open, and to put our representative on speed dial. When we come back and talk with Eddie Day Pyshynski, state representative, about the lottery privatization scheme, and also this election rigging that's coming up. Quick break, back after this.
Don't know much biology. Don't know much about science, folk. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I need you. And if you fall for all the crap I spew, what a wonderful world this would be.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. President Obama says he won't negotiate with Congress when it comes to the debt ceiling. Jesse Russell reports.
President Barack Obama held his final press conference of his first term on Monday, and the issue of the deficit was front and center. The president said either Congress wants to pay its bills or it doesn't. And he welcomed Senator Mitch McConnell and Representative John Boehner to come up and pass a plan that fits their criteria if they can.
The proposals that they put forward in order to accomplish that, only by cutting spending, means cuts to things like Medicare and education that the American people profoundly reject. Now, if they think that they can get that through Congress, then they're free to try.
Diane Feely is with Auto Workers Caravan, a group of workers who protested at the Detroit Auto Show Monday. The protest was against deteriorating working conditions for auto workers at the Detroit 3 domestic auto companies. Feely says concessions imposed on UAW workers in the government rescue of GM and Chrysler have essentially erased the 8-hour day, lowered wages, and sped up the pace of production work. She says things have gotten so bad that the companies are using a maquiladora model, in many cases, that uses temporary workers who end up being used up and tossed aside.
There have been a tremendous deterioration of the working conditions, the notion of the 8-hour day, for example, the notion that you would have weekends off, as well as the wages and benefits. So, for example, there are actually workers in GM plants today who are making $9 an hour.
Feely and Auto Workers Caravan want to see improved wages, benefits, and conditions for auto workers and a modern restructuring of the auto industry manufacturing capacity. She says industry capacity could be used, for example, for green manufacturing and mass transit.
Why should there be an emphasis on vans and trucks instead of developing mass transportation? That is, we think that auto workers need to be taking control of what is the product that we are making, and is this a socially useful product?
A strike by Boeing workers is highly likely. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace represents nearly 23,000 Boeing workers, and they've been in contract negotiations with the company since April. An offer was presented to the union on Friday, which has expressed unhappiness with the proposal. The two sides are expected to meet again this week. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the IBEW.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If this was done under Rendell's administration, the GOP would be jumping up and down like Rumpelstiltskin. I just want to make that point. I mean, the Republicans would be going nuts.
You know, I talk about disconnected. You know, you look at Transparency, Tom, and the good government GOP, and you know, this highlights the fact that these folks, they don't believe in government. And what's amazing to me is they tell us, we don't believe in government, we're going to privatize everything. So it's not surprising when they do things like, we sign a deal to have a private management company run our lottery, and then we have the first hearing days later. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't I, as a taxpayer, who has a vested interest in my lottery, shouldn't I have some input